Here at the end of 2025, wow, it has flown by, right? It just seems like just yesterday that it was January 1st, and now we are here again. And so we are starting a brand new series called Reset. And so you see this little reset button that we have here. You ever had computer problems? If you've had any computer, a laptop, or a tablet, or anything like that, sometimes all it needs is a good reset. Why? Because it gets bogged down, right? It gets tied up. And man, you hit that reset button, it's almost like you're hitting a magic button or something, because all of a sudden your computer decides to work right, it decides to think right, and decides to do what it's supposed to do just by hitting that reset button. But we don't believe in magic, we believe in the power of the Holy Spirit. So let me just clarify that. My wife's looking at me like I'm crazy for saying that, so let me just clarify that. But anyway, sometimes we just need a reset in our lives, amen. We need to reset. Maybe perhaps you've begun with us in reading the Bible plan, and you came out strong, right, all the month of January, maybe even into February. But man, by the time March came around and by the time September came around, you're like, what Bible plan? What y'all talking about? You know, we have good intentions at the beginning of the year. You know, we set goals, we set resolutions and everything else. And it's the funniest thing because the gym next month will be packed out for like the first couple of days, you know, for at least the first week or so, maybe second week, third week. But man, by the time you get to February, there's like nobody there at the gym. Why? Because it's hard getting up and going to the gym. And so we start off well, and then we have good intentions, and we're motivated to do some change in our bodies, and we just don't, right? So I love January because it is a reset. And so it's a brand new season in life. And so it is in our story today as we are looking at the Israelites. They are about to cross over into the promised land, the land that God had told them that he would bring them into. And so our story begins in the book of Joshua, chapter 4, verse 1 through 24. And so they are about to cross the Jordan. Now, they have been wandering in the desert for 40 years. That's a long time. I'm 45 years old, so that's most of my life of wandering in the desert. Why were they wandering in the desert? Because they were disobedient to God. They didn't believe God's promises. Whenever God said, look, I am bringing you out of Egypt into the land of Canaan, and whenever they sent out the spies to spy out the land of Canaan, they had some bad reports that came about, and they became fearful because of these bad reports. They said, these guys are huge. You know, they're like, they're giants, and we look like grasshoppers in their eyes. And so automatically they disqualified themselves from receiving the promises of God. And so because of their doubt and their unbelief, God caused them to wander in the desert for 40 years. But right now in our story, God is bringing them to the promise. He is about to fulfill the very promises that he made to them. And all they have to do is cross the Jordan River. Seems like an easy task. But have you ever been in a river? Have you ever tried to cross a river? Just to give you a little info about this river, the Jordan, in the time of this crossing, it was in the springtime, and the water was rushing. It was overflowing the banks. And so it wasn't just like a little stream that you can hop over. In order for the Israelites to cross over from Jordan into the promised land side of the Jordan, it would only be by the hand of God. It would be by his divine power and by his divine mercy that would bring them through the river. So this is where they are. And as you know the story, Moses was disqualified for going into the promised land because he didn't listen to God, right? And so Joshua was the man chosen to lead the Israelites into the promised land. Let's look at it in verse 1, and it says this, and when all the nations had finished passing over the Jordan, the Lord said to Joshua, take 12 men from the people, from each tribe a man. Remember, there are 12 tribes of Israel. Jacob had 12 sons, which most of them became the tribe of Israel. And he commanded them, saying, take 12 stones from here out of the midst of the Jordan, from the very place where the priest's feet stood firmly, and bring them over with you and lay them down in the place where you lodge tonight. So 12 is a very significant number in the Bible, as you may know. There were 12 patriarchs. There were 12 tribes of Israel. There are 12 disciples of Jesus. The New Jerusalem will have 12 layers in its foundation. It would also have 12 gates surrounding the city. 12 is a very significant number in the Bible, as it represents God's government in the, amongst the earth, or God governing the earth. And so each one of these tribes were to take one stone out of the midst of the Jordan and carry it on to dry land and stack it up and make a memorial to the people. Now, this is quite incredible. And so this would take a tremendous amount of faith to do so, because first of all, God's telling them this before they even crossed the Jordan. God told them this is what you have to do. And then what we come to know is that as the priests took a step of faith, as the priests were obedient to God and took that first step into the River Jordan, that the waters became like a wall. Much like it was when in the Red Sea crossing, whenever God was leading the people, his people out of Egypt, he led them to the Red Sea, and they're looking at the Red Sea, and the Egyptians are chasing them, and they're looking, and it was to bring them to a place to make a decision. Will they trust God? Will they trust God to bring them through? God brought them through the Red Sea, and he was about to bring them across the Jordan. And so for this mighty, rushing, powerful river to come to a halt so that they can walk on dry ground, God said, stop. God stopped the waters of the Jordan and stopped the water from flowing, and it made a wall so that everything that was beneath the surface of the water was now visible. Like all the brushes and all the rocks that would cause you to stumble and to fall now became visible, and dry ground appeared before the children of Israel. Now, look back at what it said, that when all the nation had passed over the Jordan River, some scholars estimate that there was at least 600,000 men. This is not counting women and children. 600,000 men that would cross over this Jordan during this season. Now, if we were to add the women and the children, it's estimated 2 to 3 million people would cross this Jordan River. This is quite a sight to see 2 to 3 million people crossing over this river. Again, it would take divine intervention for it to happen. But whenever God makes a promise, whenever God says, look, I see you on the other side of this river, whenever God says you're going to make it to the other side of this river and you're going to set up a memorial to remember what I've done to bring you through this river, whenever God makes a promise, guess what? We can bank on that promise. We can rest assured that promise will come about. And if God said that he's going to see me on the other side of this river, then I'm going through to the other side of this river. I mean, I'm going to cross on dry ground. And so only by the hand of God. Now, the Jordan, this, at the place where they cross in the river, is estimated about 10 kilometers from Jericho. And Jericho, as you know, was the first place that the Israelites would conquer. It was the first place that would fall by the power of God, that God would reveal his power in such a way that the walls of Jericho would just come crumbling down. So this is about 10 kilometers, or about 6.2 miles away from this place. But why do you suppose God wanted the children of Israel to make a memorial for this event? I could think of a bunch of reasons, but first, let's read the scriptures and let's see. And then it says, then Joshua called the 12 men from the people of Israel, whom he had appointed a man from each tribe, and Joshua said to them, pass on before the ark of the Lord your God in the midst of the Jordan, and take up each of you a stone upon his shoulder, according to the number of tribes of the people of Israel, that this may be a sign among you. When your children ask in time to come, what do these stones mean to you? Then you shall tell them that the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord. When it passed over to the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off, so these stones shall be to the people of Israel a memorial forever. So first thing that we see, it's a memorial. Why a memorial? Because we forget, right? We forget. We are forgetful people. We tend to dwell on the negative circumstances. We forget about all the good things that God has done for us. We forget about all the miracles that he has done in our lives. We forget about all the times that he has forgave you. We forget about all those times that he has been a friend to you. We forget about all those times that he has saved you and that he has reconciled with you and he has loved you and he has been a brother that sticks, a friend that sticks closer than the brother. We forget about the goodness of God. And so God wanted the children of Israel to remember God and to remember what God has done. And then the next thing was that they were to teach their children. In other words, whenever their children would see these rocks on the side of the Jordan, something about these rocks would strike them peculiar. There's something not right about these rocks. Why? Because they had been pulled out of a river. If you ever been to a river and you start digging at the bottom and you pull up rocks, you're going to find that they're very smooth, right? They're very smooth rocks, and some of them are smooth enough where you can take them and skim them, and you see how many times you can make it jump on the water. But they're very smooth. And so a child would say, look, these rocks are very peculiar. What is the story behind these rocks? Because someone had to intervene in order to take these rocks and place them right here on dry ground, because the rocks on the outside are not as smooth as the rocks that are inside of a river. So it would strike the curiosity of a child. Why are these rocks this way? That was the opportunity for the parents to tell their children why these rocks are right here. This is a memorial. This is what God has done for us. He has stopped the waters of the Jordan. Now imagine that. Now if we had a set of rocks right by the mighty Mississippi, you know, and we were standing on the brink of the Mississippi River, and we're telling our children, they're asking us, what about these rocks? And we say, look, God stopped the waters of this mighty Mississippi River so that God's people can walk across dry ground. That's an incredible testimony to these kids. That's an incredible, tangible way to show their children the good things that God has done. And as parents, it is our responsibility to do so. It is our responsibility to teach our children and to tell them of all the good things that God has done so that they can be in awe of who God is, so that they too will raise their families in fear and admonition of the Lord. So that was the second reason I see this. There was something peculiar in this peculiar. This would strike the curiosity of children. We are to teach our kids. And thirdly, these stones would point to the fact that God is a God who keeps his promise. Amen? He's a God who keeps his promises. He's faithful to his people. We see this throughout the scriptures, throughout the Old Testament, throughout the New Testament. God is faithful. He is faithful. So when we think about, you know, sometimes we forget about the things that God has done. Do you remember whenever you first got saved? Do you remember that far ago? For me, it was 1997. It was quite a few years ago. 28 years? Is that right? Yeah, 28 years. That's a long time ago. I remember the calling. I remember God just like showing me his kindness in such a good way, and I just fell on my knees and I just said, God, I am yours. You remember that? You're to call to remembrance those things that God has done in your life. Now, maybe you don't have like a set of stones that you keep as a memorial, but maybe there's something else that strikes your memory, that calls to memory. Man, this is what God has done in my life. For me, whenever I was a child, and many of you know this, but I'll tell it again for those who do not know. Whenever I was a child, I had pigeon toe feet. And, you know, my feet were kind of like this. I kind of walked funny, right? And so my mom and dad, they were spending tons of money on these little bitty old corrective shoes. And it was expensive. And my mom and dad, they were, you know, they had five kids. It was expensive. At the time, we were going to a church in Chauvin. Brother Leroy Champagne, he was our pastor. And I just remember being told, you know, he came and he prayed over me. And God healed my feet. Like instantly, he healed my feet. So I'm like this now, you know. And so it's amazing. God healed my feet. Now, keep this. Tara asked me one time, why do you keep that? This is a stone to me. This is to remember what God has done. He straightened up my feet. And so this is a testimony. This is, I tell my kids this. But then he didn't stop there. He didn't only heal my feet. Like while I was a teenager, I kind of, you know, I walked in rebellion. I walked away against God, and I smoked and everything else. I was smoking so bad, you know, my lungs were in a terrible place. But whenever I got saved, I gave my heart to the Lord, and the smoking quit. And the Lord totally restored my lungs, and he totally was able to even do a work in my body. And so now, as you know, I'm a runner. And these shoes right here is another testimony of what God has done. These are my shoes from this year, about 1,600 miles in these shoes this year. It's been through a marathon. It's been through several 20-milers. It's been through times of feeling like giving up. I'm like, I don't want to do this no more. Why am I doing this? It's been through so much. It's dirty. It's smelly. It's time for some new shoes, right? They're worn. They're wiped out. It's been through a lot this year. This is where I'm at currently. But it's still a reminder to me of what God has done. He's totally healed my lungs in such a way where I'm able to run this, you know, this long of a distance. I give all glory to God. It's a reminder to me. And then so this would be, you know, present. The first one was past. And then we also have a future. Amen. And so this is what's going to, the shoe of 2026, this is what's going to get me to my next marathon and the next miles and the next thing that God has for me, amen? And so these are memorial stones, if you will, for me to remind myself of God's faithfulness, because running requires, running for me is like, you know, it builds endurance. And God has been so good to me, and he has taught me how to endure. He has taught me how to endure, not just running a race. It's not just for that. It's running spiritually, running the spiritual race that God has for me. Because there are times when you feel like giving up and you feel like throwing in the towel and you feel like you can't go anymore. But then God gives you the strength to keep on going. He gives you what you need to keep on going. These are memorial stones for me, past, present, and even future things of what God is doing. Amen. So then he says in verse 8, and the people of Israel did just as Joshua commanded and took up the 12 stones out of the midst of the Jordan, according to the number of tribes of the people of Israel, just as the Lord told Joshua. And he carried them over with them to the place where they lodged and laid them down there. And Joshua set up 12 stones in the midst of the Jordan, in the place where the feet of the priests bearing the Ark of the Covenant has stood, and there they are to this day. For the priest bearing the ark stood in the midst of the Jordan until everything was finished that the Lord commanded Joshua to tell the people according to all that Moses had commanded Joshua. Do you know that even to this day that they still celebrate this crossing, you know, at the Jordan River? And there's thousands of people who show up to this event, and they talk about it. They remind themselves of what God did at this very place and how he brought the Israelites across. They still, to this day, we're thousands of years removed from this, and yet they're still remembering what God has done. And so we have to have that in our lives, where we remember what God has done. But there's also a point in which we have to move forward. So we remember what God has done, but you have to move forward. Amen. So I'm always think it's funny, like when I go to New Orleans and we go to the Smoothie King Center, they got this big old square. It's called Champion Square, right? And I'm like, y'all haven't been a champion since 2009 and 2010. Y'all still living on old glory and old victories. But then, you know, what about right now? You know, are we champions right now? And I'm going to have to say, yeah, still living in the past. We haven't moved on. Let's embrace where we are right now. Let's change where we are right now. We have to move forward into God's purposes. It's good to remind ourselves. But you know, the children of Israel did not stay right there. Yeah, whenever they crossed over the Jordan River, they were in a place called Gilgal. And they stayed at Gilgal for about 14 years. And in Gilgal, they set up the tabernacle. And that's where they worshiped God. At Gilgal, it was kind of a base where they used to, you know, for their conquest. They would conquer lands and then come back to Gilgal. It was a place of transition. It was a place past the wilderness, but the promise was still ahead of them. They haven't attained everything that God said that they would attain, so the promise was still before them, but the wilderness was still behind them. So they're in this place of transition. Some of us might find ourselves in that very place. The promises of God are before you. You haven't seen them yet. You haven't seen them fulfilled in your life yet. You're believing God for it. You're holding on to his promises. But you've also been through a wilderness. You've been through some hurt. You've been through some pain. You've been through some difficulties, some heartache, some sorrow. And the enemy tried his best to take you out. But you are still here today. Amen. You are still here. That's your wilderness. It's in the past. The promise is before you. God is faithful and he will bring you to that promise. But guess what? You have to go through the river. The promise is on the other side of the river. You can't stay on the wilderness side of the river. You have to cross over, which means you have to have faith. You might be looking at that river and say, God, it's impossible. Of course it's impossible for you. It's not impossible for God. He's the one who created the river. He's the one who created the floods. He created the streams. He created the mountains. There is nothing impossible for our God. But yet sometimes we're paralyzed by fear of moving forward, crossing that river. Because the wilderness has become comfortable for us. We've grown, and so now that the promised land is very unfamiliar. Like, in the back of our mind, we're still thinking about those giants that they talked about. It's an unfamiliar place. You can stay on the wilderness side of the Jordan, or you can step out in faith into the promise, into the future that God has for you. Leaving behind past sins, past sorrows, past hurts, past regrets, past disappointments, past failures, past broken relationships, past all these things, leaving them in the past and moving forward, holding on to what God has for you, believing that God has something better for you. So yes, we're going to remember the good things that God has done, but God has a future for us as well, amen? Turn to your neighbor and say, God has a future for you. God has a future for you. Amen. And it's not going to be by your might, and it's not going to be by your power. But it's going to be by his might, and by his power, and by his spirit, says the Lord. Amen. Now, I'd like to welcome up my wife as she just celebrates and remembers some of the good things that happened this year at Hope Community Church. You guys give it up for Pastor Tara.
Amen. Can you put that on stage as well? Y'all, we have 12 remembering stones. I pray that you go home. My little girl, she came in bed last night and she said, Mom, and she went over her 2025. And we've had some rough things in our 2025. We've had some things like the Israelites, and we've had to pass through the Jordan River, and we are still passing through the Jordan River. And she tells me all the things that went wrong in her life. And then I said, that's right. This is real. It wasn't even like fake. And then I said, you know what we're going to do? I said, we're going to choose to take those memorial stones, and we're going to remember, somebody say remember, what God has done. And so for 12 things that we are going to be thankful for here at Hope Community Church, I encourage you, go do this with your family. Go this morning, this afternoon. You have until 2026. And you can look at all of those things that are rough and terrible. We've already done that. That's what the enemy does over and over and over again. But rather in the next couple days, commit to this with you and your family and say, I'm going to remember what God has done. So here's some things that we had as a celebration in 2025. We had our first ever Valentine's couples night, and we had over 25 couples in attendance right here at Hope Community Church, strengthening marriages. And so we are committed to that. We are like, that was like the past, but what we're looking forward to is we're going to have 40 couples this year, and we're going to do that same event and just make it bigger and better right here in the sanctuary. Last year, that was Memorial Stone number one. Number two is we had our first ever Rise Night with our teenagers in November, and we had 40 students, 12 leaders, and 16 guests in-house with a worship band. And so we are thankful for God for that and what transpired. And then we had several, like 28, I think, students that served in the nursing home the next day. And we are believing God for even bigger than that for our next Rise Night that we're going to have in 2026. First ever, this is our third Memorial Stone. We took 14 kids to kids camp at Camp OTX in Bandera, Texas. And several of them gave their lives to the Lord. First time ever that we went there, and we are praying that God allows and opens that door. It was an amazing camp where we just got to strengthen our kids ministry. That is our third Memorial Stone. Our fourth one is that we opened up a pre-K during our church service. It's happening right now where our 3- and 4-year-olds are getting special education, learning about Jesus in the first classroom, and we have been able to sustain that with 2 teachers in each room. So we give God the praise for that Memorial Stone. Our fifth Memorial Stone, we saw some of the biggest services in attendance. Several services met almost 200 in attendance. One was our baptism. One was with Brother Andrew Eastman. And then we had our Thanksgiving one outside with about 200 in attendance. And then Christmas, we had over 200 people last week in attendance. So we give God all the praise for those services, our fifth Memorial Stone. Number 6, we baptized the most ever people in 2025. We had a baptism with, I think, 14 people that got baptized in one service. And we have people that attended for the first time ever our First Steps membership class. We give God all the praise. Here's an incredible Memorial Stone, the Bible YouTube YouVersion. If you are on, if you like Hope Community Church and you are on there, I think we have a slide for that somewhere. You can scan the QR code and it will take you right to Hope Community Church. Every time that you open up the Bible app, it records it, and at the end of the year, it sends us a celebration. You ready for this? As of yesterday, we had at Hope Community Church 8,741 days in the Word of God with you guys at Hope Community Church, that you opened up the Bible and read it. That is incredible to me. 8,741 days. Next year, we look forward to over 10,000. All you got to do is scan the app right there. Vacation Bible School with Magnify. If you remember back to that, we had over 100 students every single day from this community that we serve and love, learning how to magnify and lift up the name of Jesus. We had, that was one of our stones. Another one is we had Bayou Student Weekend, summer camp, and I just pushed all these together. Inspire Night, Men's Night Out, and small groups. We were able to open up a women's Bible study on Mondays as well at noon. Lots of ladies in attendance. So that was one of our stones. That was number nine. That was our ninth one. Our 10th one, at the end of last year, beginning of this year, we were able to purchase, with a grant that we won, a brand new church van. A brand new church van. And with another funding that we received, we have started work in December to have a safety and security team, and all of our doors and everything else will have all of the intercom systems and things that we need. It'll be finished by the end of January. By the end of January. So we give God the praise for that one. That was our 10th one. Our 11th one, we haven't talked much about this just because our funding, we just had to pay bills. But even in the midst, you know how that is. You want to pay off debt, but you're really just paying bills sometimes. So what happened for us, even in the midst of just paying bills here, we were able this year to pay off $30,000 in debt. $30,000 in debt. That we had $200,000. So for every golf ball that we have in there, it's worth $5,000. So this morning we are able to put four more golf balls. He's really excited about this. To put it into the two. I am too. I hate debt. I hate debt in my personal life. I hate debt here at the church. And so we started at $200,000 that we still owe on the building and the properties that we look forward to owning. And now we only owe $170,000, which sounds like a lot, but we serve a God who is able. We serve a God who is able. And then our last memorial stone, and we could have written so many more. We could have written so many more. We were able to support 9 missionaries and their families faithfully every single month. We did not stop. We did not lessen the amount of money. We continued blessing the people of God that are serving throughout the world, not just here in Houma. We have several that we support in Houma, but we were able to continue that. And our goal in 2025 is not to increase the numbers of missions, but actually, as inflation has hit so much for them as well, we want to increase the monies that we're able to give to them, to increase it from 125 or 100 to 150 for every person that we have. So we want to give God all the praise and all the glory for 12 memorial stones. And then as we look forward to the future, we asked you, you can keep that slide, Adelie. We want to keep the slide. Here's two things that we are asking from you. As you sort of say, you know what, I'm going to pick up my brand new shoes. I bought this for my husband for Christmas, so I'm so thankful he used this as an illustration. Because he's getting ready to run a marathon in January. We all are getting ready to run a race. I don't know what the future brings for any one of us. I don't know what we'll go through. We'll probably go through some hard things. The Bible promises that as the day approaches. It has been tough. I know that, and I look at that, and we remember what God has done. But looking forward to our future, here's two things that we would like you to grab a hold of as a community of believers and say, let's do this together. Number one, we would like to read the Bible with you. If you scan that code, or if you are a paper person, we have hard copies here at the altar and also at the front desk. This is not that. I think that those are at the front desk. And what you do is we will start January 1st. Here's the deal. Some of us are like, I can't read through the whole Bible. Okay, we got you. This year, we're going to be reading together through the Old Testament and the New Testament daily. So maybe for you, you just grab a hold of the New Testament and you commit, I'm going to read through the New Testament. It even has some breaks into it, included into it. And if you want accountability, you scan that and we're going to send out a code and we are going to write messages and encourage each other in the Lord. And so by the end of the new year, year, this year 25, we will have you included onto what is called the Navigator Plan of reading the Bible. So maybe you just read the whole Bible with us, or maybe you just read the whole New Testament, or you can just read the Psalm and the Proverbs, because every day there's a Psalm or Proverb to read. So we encourage you, get into the Word of God. It is Ted was telling our kids this week, he has read the Word of God faithfully every year since he's become a pastor here at Hope Community. But before that, since he's been 17 years old, it is important to make yourself steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. And the way that you do that is through the Word of God. Number two, that we are asking, and this is not starting this week, but we want you to think about this. We are going to have a 21-day fast. That is where we are looking forward to our future. We're resetting, we're renewing, restoring, we're rethinking through our lives. And what we are asking is that January the 5th through January the 25th, that you would fast with us. And we are asking you to do one of these fasts, and this is actually at the altar if you want to come and grab it. If you have been struggling, maybe you have an addiction, maybe there are things in your life, maybe you're just praying for someone in your family, we're asking that you would either do a full fast if the Lord leads, make sure the Lord leads, a Daniel fast, which means no meats, sweets, or breads, a partial fast, specific meals and times of the day, or a soul fast where you limit your media. I would even say cut out social media, entertainment, scrolling, binge watching on Netflix. May I go on and on and on. For 21 days, we are going to have this ladies' room as a prayer and fasting room where you can come at any time while we are here in the building and just pray. We're going to have 12 stones. We're going to have anointing oil. We're going to have music playing all the time. And then every morning at 6 o'clock online on social media, we are going to post a video from one of the leaders here that will be encouraging you on how to fast. The first week will be personal. We're going to pray for ourselves personally. It's important. Then we're going to pray in the second week for our family, community, and relationships. And then in the third week, we're going to do mission, vision, and spiritual breakthrough. These are yours. Start asking the Lord. Meet together with your family. We're going to do this. We're going to set vision for our family. We're going to set goals for our family. We're going to sit around at a table and say, what is it that you want the Lord to do in your 2026? Remember, reflect, but also move forward. Would you bow your head and close your eyes? Today I'm going to ask Mr. Melvin, if you would, to lead us in a prayer at the end. He was praying this morning. We pray at 9:15, and he was just praying. And I just believe that the Lord would just have him to close in prayer for us. He has been through some things, but like Pastor Ted said, he's here, and he's full of the glory of God.
Oh, Heavenly Father God, we love you because you first loved us. You are our God, our Father, our Lord, our Savior. For such a time as this, all honor, glory, and praise is due to you, dear Lord God. It's due you. We lift up this congregation, dear Lord God, that you reach, teach, guide each and every one of us to your will, that your plan is made into fruition. We know that you are faithful, dear Lord God, and you're with us each and every day. So we thank you for blessing us, dear Lord God. We thank you for guiding us. We thank you for what you have done in our lives. For me personally, dear Lord, it's been a time of healing. At one time, I wasn't even able to talk like this. My desire is to be able to join Victor and sing again, if that be your will. At one time, I used to walk with a cane. But you are. You got me standing on my two feet. And I know each and every one of these people have stories of what you've done in their lives. You blessed each and every one of us. So let us reflect and remember what God has done for us. After reading through the Bible this past year, I've learned that we are all in it. We're all in the Bible somewhere, somehow. We've all forgotten what God has done for us. We've all turned our backs away from Him at some point of our lives. But thank God, He never stops seeking us because He loves us. We thank you, God, for that. We want to reset, dear Lord God. Refocus our lives so that we are turning our eyes upon you, to look toward you, because you are the way, the truth, and the life. And we have no way to you but through our Lord Jesus Christ. So we want to continue to look forward to you as our Father, as our Lord, and as our Savior. We thank you for our leadership, our pastors, Ted and Tara, dear Lord God. We lift up the leaders and congregation, dear Lord. Let us strive to live for you. We thank you for your strength. We thank you for your peace, your joy, your love. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen.
Amen. May you go with God, and we'll see you next Sunday at 10 o'clock as we continue in the series. This is for you to grab a hold of if you want these. They're at the front desk as well as right here. And so we love you guys. See you soon.